Blog Talk Radio.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain, it's still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. When you're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now we're down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's where your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the
good afternoon to you all, our listeners out there, wherever you are. This is the Cricket Show. I am Dennis. Sitting in the background, there is Leon.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Right, okay.
Good evening to all the wonderful folks out there in Radio Land. Welcome to the Cricket Show, another wonderful day in my neck of the woods, and I hope wherever you are. And like the song says, the God of the day, the God of the night, the God of the bad times, the God of the good times, my good friends. And therefore, let us ask God's presence in our house, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you. Thank you for your giving us this opportunity once more to share with you another show. We pray it will go on without any interruptions, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege we have to provide this piece of help to the ones who are not knowledgeable about the sport. Thank you for the ones who made it possible through their finances and their moral support, Lord. We pray you just continue to bless their hearts and bless their bodies so they can continue to help us along the way. We thank them all for all they have done. We have thanked all for the ones who made it possible financially again, Lord, and those who do so morally. Lord, especially this evening, we pray for the ones who are struggling with ill health, Lord. Namely, Natubi. Natubi is the father of Mr. Jetan Patel, and he is under the weather. He's making some recovery, and Lord, we just thank you for that, and we hope you can continue to heal him from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. As well as my dear brother, David Christian, husband of Hyacinth, Eugene Francis, my brother from another mother, Lord. We have been friends for over 60 years, Lord. Thank you for Dr. Leroy Lashley and his daughter, Lisa, another friend of mine. Bobsy Nisbet, friend of the show and the mother of Mertris, Lord. Help her, Lord. Heal her. Touch her from the bottom of her feet to the top of her head again, Lord. And bless Mertris and thank her for her help to the show. And we just ask that you heal her as well. Connie Whitley, Lord, my dear niece, and Ellie Matt, one of the panelists on the show some years ago, as well as Everett Carter, one of the panelists from another show. I used to occupy the seat with him, Lord. Oliver Solomon, Elkamita Willett, Wentworth, Gorbrell, and Talbert, and Julian Francis, my siblings, Lord. We pray for them, Lord. Dennis Kelman, Joseph Contrup, Mona Daniel, Fillmore Hallpike, Earl Stevens, as well as Dr. Roger Brown and Mr. Linford McKenzie and Dawn Simon are the ones who have expressed their concerns, Lord. But also, Lord, we just ask that you heal the ones who have not expressed their concerns and are struggling with your health. They too need your guidance, their help, and their revival, Lord. Bring them back to us in one piece, Lord. Here to help you and help to win souls for you, Lord. We are grateful for everything you have done for us, and we're just so thankful for this wonderful climate in my neck of the woods, and we do hope that you will just let others experience similar weather condition. Thanks for everything, Lord, in the country and the turmoils in the Middle East and wherever it is, Lord. Give us peace, happiness, and goodwill, Lord. You have made a world that we will have happiness, kindness, and you know the rest, Lord. But no, it has not been so. I ask for your interruption into wherever there is strife, wherever there are struggles, wherever there are any problems whatsoever, Lord. Heal us, help us, and let this show go on without any interruption. And we're just so grateful for the faithful souls who are here with us this evening to help us produce yet another show. Thank you, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So why don't you tell us a little and say hello, amen, to you too. Hyacinth, why don't you say a little to your friends and well wishers? They may want to hear your voice, as well as Donna and Mertris. Go right ahead, Hyacinth. Okay, Donna, how about you say a little hello to your friends?
From New York City. Good evening to Dennis, to Leon, to anybody else who might be listening, and Mertris and Bobsy. Good evening.
Okay,
yeah. We are looking forward to a night for Hyacinth, everybody.
Okay.
Good evening.
And Mertris, why don't you say a few words of opening remarks?
Good evening from the beautiful city of New York.
All right.
Had a beautiful day with our marathon, New York marathon today, and that went off really great.
Mm-hmm.
We are glad it happened. Good evening to each and every one of you, and we welcome you all to the show. Enjoy.
Dennis was asking me whether or not you finished the race, but I tell him, yes, you start and finish at the same place. Am I correct? Go ahead. Dennis, your time, sir.
Hello, Leon. Hello, fellow panelists. Out here in sunny Southern California.
Wow.
The temperature is a nice 85 degrees, bright and sunny. And with that, I say hello and welcome to all our listeners wherever you are in the world. This is The Cricket Show at www.blogtalkradio.com/The Cricket Show. You can call us at 1-515-605-9850. That's 1-515-605-9850. And we'll be here starting now at 6 Eastern until 9 p.m. Eastern. Send us an email with any queries you might have at thecricketshow@comcast.net. thecricketshow@comcast.net. And set your reminder to join us every Sunday at 6 p.m. on the Eastern time zone. And welcome again to all, and back to you, Liam.
Yes, indeed. In a few months' time, thanks for all the kind words and compliments that we express. The Coach's Corner comes up next after, and then the birthday and anniversary hour by Mr. Audley Watson. And then we focus on the laws, and my goodness, Law 12, we're going fast. And this evening we'll be hearing from Mertrice Nisbet this evening. Mertrice Nisbet later on. Then we'll be intervening with all the other activities, the Olympics. We talk about cricket in the Olympics, the ICC, World Cup 2023, and of course we do have the CWI CG United 50 overs, and I think that Donna will tell us whether or not the Leewards are on top or they are doing badly. CWI US is going to spend some $2.5 million in regional cricket, and of course we're looking forward to hear all the news coming out of wherever they may be. But right now, I'm going to turn you right over to Dennis because he's waiting for Jatin, who has a great topic lineup for you folks. Okay. So, Dennis, take it over. You may have a couple of items before Jatin comes on.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, Leon. So while we're waiting for the Coach's Corner to begin, one or two little pieces of news that are of importance to our listeners. First of all, the USA Cricket has announced the annual general meeting for 2023. It will take place on November the 11th, 2023, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Central Time. So repeat, the 2023 USA Cricket AGM is scheduled to take place on November the 11th, 2023, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Central Time. And for those of you who are members, should by now have received your notice. And as you may be aware, most of you will be attending via a virtual event. So that's it about the USA Cricket, who have also taken the opportunity to announce its strategic priorities for the remainder of the year. If time permits, today we will try to touch base on some of those strategic priorities. But for now, we will just move on. And Leon, you may not have heard, but I think sometime in the last evening, there was an earthquake in Nepal where 100 citizens lost their lives. And this come on the heel of the news from the ICC regarding the ICC Men's T20 World Cup for 2024. That's the World Cup, which is due to be played here in the United States and in the Caribbean. Nepal and Oman have both qualified for that tournament. So a little bit of, pleasant news coming for Nepal, where they will be participating in the 2024 T20 World Cup here in the United States and in the Caribbean. And Nepal managed to beat the host of that qualifying tournament, the UAE, and that was a surprise turnaround, but we look to, 2024 when we will see Nepal, who you will remember, Leon, they have one of the finest of spin bowler, Lami Hani. He is well renowned for his prowess on the cricket field. Some other news coming out of the ICC. We have Australia and New Zealand has been announced as co-hosts of the 2028 T20 World Cup. So Australia and New Zealand will be hosting the 2028 T20 World Cup. And
wow.
Just for the record, the 2026 T20 World Cup will be hosted in India and Sri Lanka jointly. And in 2030, England, Ireland, and Scotland will be hosting the T20. And going down the list, we have the ODI World Cup for 2027 to be hosted by South Africa, Zimbabwe, and Namibia. Mm-hmm. And the 2031, India and Bangladesh will jointly host the ODI World Cup. And the Champions Trophy for 2025 next year, that'll be hosted by Pakistan, and the top seven finishers, which excludes Pakistan, will automatically qualify for that tournament, which again will go back to India in 2029, the Champions Trophy. So, a little bit of news there. Still, Leon, I'm not sure if you...
No, I have not, and have not heard from Jatin yet. I'm sure he's...
Yeah.
No, if I have anything else, I do have something
yes,
else.
Yes. I have a few more bits and pieces, but yeah. Leon, recently there's been news coming out of CWI, and the latest one, previously we had news that Guyana and CWI had come to some agreement about strengthened relations. Now I see Antigua and Barbuda has also announced that they've strengthened relationship with the CWI. Now that just leads me to wonder what has been going on, why we're getting this sudden news of rash of news about the Caribbean countries strengthening relations and ties with CWI. I thought that was a foregone conclusion. You have anything you can throw in on that one, Leon?
A little bird is whispering to me that some of these countries want to go alone, you know. Some of these...
Oh, really?
Now, it has not been made official, but it seems as if some countries want to go alone. Mm-hmm. And they feel if they play alone, they'll be have a more forceful, more stronger team. If we can't play as a unit with all these players, I don't know how in the world... You're going to expect them to be so, but they have a strong belief that they'll get more local support, sponsorship, and the works because, for instance, in Jamaica, I understand Jamaica is getting quite a bit of support because of their track stars they have over the years, you know. So I don't know.
Yes.
And they feel the other countries may feel the same way, too, if they go alone. But I tell you... to each his own. I don't know what's going to happen if that's the case, but I'm not saying it's true, but I get some feeling that some people don't want to be involved with the West Indies cricket, and they don't want to be associated with teams that are losing to. So, who knows?
Dear.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm right. I may be wrong, but that is what I'm getting the
that's
feeling that they yes,
okay.
So it may not be true, but some teams look like if they're not, they're just going through the motion. Because we talk about the standard of the CP, the Super 50, and it is appalling. It's right down there.
Leon,
go ahead, right here. Oh, coach is here, so when, okay,
so
well, go right
this
ahead.
This is time for us to... take off the Coach's Corner, the Cricket Show USA, the Cricket Hall of Fame USA, and the American Cricket Education Council, ACEC, is pleased to welcome the weekly joint collaborative broadcast of the Coach's Corner. The objective of the Coach's Corner is to provide coaching, education, and expert views, information, oral and practical assistance, while helping to educate those seeking to understand and to become actively involved in the sport of cricket, nationally and internationally. The segment of the Coach's Corner will run from 6:15 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and will feature Jatin Patel, Cricket Hall of Famer and multi-sport coach, administrator, and director of the Cricket Hall of Fame. Welcome and good evening to you, Coach.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Dirton. Coach,
well, today's,
good evening.
Today's Coach's Corner will feature a World Cup 2023 chat, little chat about things which is directly related to the 2023 World Cup currently going on. And I think the first thing we should ask the coach, can you tell our listeners who has been eliminated from the season of the current World Cup right now?
At this moment, while we talk, Bangladesh and England is completely out. And only two teams, India at number one and South Africa at number two, are qualified for the semifinal. Means remaining six teams, that includes New Zealand, Australia, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, and Netherlands, they are still in contest while we speak. Mathematically, it's still possible. There are some countries has advantage. Some countries can make it if favor can be done by the other teams in terms of performance. And eventually, it looks to me, we will have a tie-up either for the number three position or number four position. And if the points are tied, it will be going on net run rate. So the field is wide open, and I think we have another three, four games to look into. But the key players will be Afghanistan, Pakistan, the remaining games. That will decide the fate of these remaining two spots in semifinal.
Okay, Coach. Now, these teams have made it through to this World Cup, but we've had the eliminated teams. Is there any one or two areas that you would cite as their weakness or their strength why they were eliminated?
It's very difficult to say when you have too many things going wrong, especially for England, right? So it's like not something we can comment on one point, but they need to regroup, they need to go back. England is a defending champion. They had a rock-solid team, but unfortunately, beginning this tournament when they lost against the New Zealand, it's like a repetition of the last World Cup. These are the two teams who played in a World Cup final, and England beat by...
We lost you, Coach.
So these are the competitive teams, but that was the beginning. And then New Zealand started okay until these last four games. They got a huge disappointment going on. They lost three games on the field, whereas the fourth game against the Pakistan, they scored even 401, but the DLS came into the picture and they lost. So now the momentum has been shifted. Even the New Zealand is doing excellent job. They are scoring high. They are doing really well. But now it's all the way came down to the last game. And now we have to see how the New Zealand deals the remaining game against Pakistan. If Pakistan wins, then they are tying in terms of the points. So this like when your question says where they went wrong, I think there are many things went wrong. And the one thing important is they lost the team composition for sure. And number two, is their basics are a little bit off. When you are in under stress, when you are under pressure, you need to find a way to survive instead of finding the result. And that is where these games were lost.
Okay, we've talked about the teams that have been eliminated. What about the teams that we anticipate getting into the semifinal playoff? What are their major strengths and weaknesses?
The strength, I think, is looks to me at this point, India is unbeatable. If they don't see any more injuries or risk involved to carry on this roster, in my opinion, they are going without any changes for the remaining three games. We are looking at one more game, last game, next Sunday, which is the Netherlands, and after that semifinal and final. This particular team, the combination of these 11 players is working really well. And going forward, I'm not expecting any changes. They will go through. Their strength is definitely all the department and any roles and responsibility you can give it to any player. Everyone is able to execute. They have the good amount of tempo going on. We call it momentum or rhythm, which is in favor of India. And because of that, out of those top five batsmen, all it takes one or two to build the inning and make a good partnership, and they can change the game's outcome. Number two, their bowlers are in excellent form. All five have executed so far. Whenever comes, we don't expect all five bowlers will be taking wicket. It's just like way back in 1970s when West Indies has that power-packed fast bowling, right? We don't expect each and every bowler need to come out and take wicket. But as long as they keep continue with the game plan and the overall one or two bowler has to strike, where other one or two bowler has to keep that pressure on. And that is where they succeed. And the biggest thing is they got the wicketkeeper who is a good batsman. Not only that, the strongest part of this Indian team is it's about five or six candidates are captain of the IPL team. That's a huge. And because of that, I think they have more sense on game reading and pitch reading and understanding the environment and dealing with the situation. They are ahead of anybody out there. The South Africa did really well at this point, but now it's a concern because they have the history. Numbers don't lie. In 30 years, whenever they are close to finish line, they usually take the exit, and that is what now we have to concern. No doubt, so far they have only lost against the Netherlands when they were chasing. And it has exactly happened today against India. When India won the toss, they forced them to chase, and they are not good at it. And they end up with this ground which was keeping the ball low. Bounce was the issue. Ball was coming up little late after the picking. That's another timing adjustment needed, and they could not take. And then top of that, that's a turning track. And because of that, they fell. They give the 7 wickets to the spinners. And if you look at all those wickets to spinners, none of the batsmen had a clue how to deal with them. So these two teams, this is going semi-final. And I will say these are the two teams can reach the final again, once more time.
Thank you, Coach. Leon, do you have any questions?
Yes. First of all, let me just say that we have Virgil on board with us as well. Now, okay. Coach, what do any team, if any, has to do to beat India, number one? And which of the other teams will join South Africa and India in the semifinals, in your opinion?
In my opinion, any team which can India, if then can come out with the same combination of consistent players, performing players, and able to execute the plan. These are the three basic criteria. So far, none of the team in this World Cup has that capability, what India carries.
And the other two teams, which of the two, the remaining teams are likely to join with South Africa and India?
I will say Afghanistan or Pakistan. Be careful. One of them is making, I'm sure. It all goes down to, and believe it or not, I am upbeat on Pakistan. Looks like they're going to make it.
Coach, forgive me to break in here. You call all Asian teams. What about Australia?
Australia still have the on and off business to deal with it, right? No doubt they are in form, they are performing. But playing under the pressure and playing in India, they have always care about it. Yes, Australia can a toss-up team, right? But now they are dealing the toughest challenge is facing Afghanistan, which is at this point, I call it the hottest team in this World Cup. They have done so well until now. And even Afghanistan is going to keep their tempo up. They have the high confidence. They can make it. And if the spin department works, they have three good spinners. And there is a good strength of fielding and batting. If they can fight against Australia, and if Australia can collapse against the spin, then the door is wide open. So even Australia makes it, they're still going to have the real good tough situation to face either South Africa or India because they are too good.
Okay, back to you, Dennis.
All right. Coach, what would you say are the World Cup surprises for this series?
The biggest surprise is England is out. And then take the Netherlands who beat the South Africa, right? And then there's two other surprises, to my opinion, is like Sri Lanka's collapse against India. And then there's the most recent yesterday's match, we call it, India versus South Africa. We all expected that this is the game, is a rehearsal of the final, and maybe this team going to fight for the spot. Did not happen. It was a straightforward, one-sided game, if you look at the other way. And that is a huge concern. But other than that, I don't see any other game you can count as upset. But then the drama is coming down to this New Zealand's last game against Pakistan. I will say that is also will bring the surprise. New Zealand started so well, and now they are in the pressure to see if they have to beat this Pakistan. There is only one game left to make the semi on their side. So they are under the demand, we call it, must win, where Pakistan is on other side. And looking at the last three games, they are bouncing back. And that is the scary part for the New Zealand, that they are facing some team who is picking up the good confidence and momentum. And now you are challenging them to knock them out of semifinal. So there's like a couple of, we can say, upset or disappointments. But that happens when you play at this level of a tournament at world stage.
Thank you, Coach. Let's see if Virgil has any questions on this topic. Virgil?
No, I'm just listening for a while.
Okay.
So no, I'm good. I'm good so far.
Donna, any questions from you for the coach?
No, not at this moment.
Okay. Thank you. Coach, outstanding performance on the individual level and the team level. That's outstanding performance on the individual level and the team level. Can you highlight one or two of them for us?
The one goes to the Virat Kohli for sure. And that is the most careful part for any team if they are facing Kohli. And look at the turnaround. He used to be known for the chasing. Means when India is looking for the target, he normally does this, but now in a tough condition today, he played the innings on his 35th birthday to tie the record with Sachin Tendulkar. That's a huge. And looking at this current form, with already, I think, two centuries, and he missed out three of them for like 80-plus, 90-plus scores. And that is the individual performance carrying the India team on their shoulders. Rohit Sharma is another one. Credit goes on India side. It doesn't matter whether he gets quickly out or not, but he sets the tempo. He goes there to start and establish that aggressive game without any fear. And that is the footstep they are following so the other batters can have easy time. And top of that, we have seen it in this tournament. Out of five, one or two is performing, and they are going through. The another two good performance, if I have to recognize, is Rachin Ravindra from New Zealand. He's a youngster playing his first World Cup, and he already slammed the three centuries. And that's a huge. Look out for him. He's a good left-hander. He can bowl too. And then De Kock on the South Africa side is doing really well, but now is a time of concern. If he fails, the team fails. And that is where we need to watch out for. The surprise, biggest surprise on performance side is, as always, Pakistan. They are bringing back. These batters are doing well. Their bowling has not triggered to the peak. But at this point, looks like this is the bowlers and batting. When it comes to the bowling, I think credit goes to India, where you have Sami, Siraj, Bumrah, and Jadeja as well as Yadav. You can count all five in top 20 wicket takers, and that everybody is doing good. None of the other team has that combination, as I said, and that should be the huge. So but there are some standout performance. I will count if they can perform on a real day. When it comes to the semifinal and final, we need to see who is these front runners or the top performing people are contributing their performances towards the championship.
Okay. Thank you, Coach. There is a lot of talk about crowd at these tournaments. Can you expand, tell us a little bit more about the crowd support throughout this tournament so far, and what do you think will happen towards the end of the tournament?
This crowd is a mass, huge one. You can take another 11 on field. That's the crowd does. It's a noise, number one. Number two, it gives the huge pressure when they are cheering India. We have seen it, India-Pakistan game. It was entire stadium is like a blue, right? So every moment they are cheering their own team, and that's a huge pressure for the opponent. And if you start losing wickets, if you are not able to score run, if you're missing around in the fielding, it can build a huge pressure because that is the moment the crowd is looking for, right? And it will not go away because you're playing in India. Because of their size of population, this 60,000, 70,000, even 135,000 stadium is not good enough to fit each and everyone out there who are interested to join this game. As I hear from a lot of places, these all games are sold out. People are still looking for tickets. So even if you put the bigger stadium, they can pack up.
Thank you, Coach. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, and Coach, do you foresee any changes that are going to be made to subsequent World Cups in terms of innovation or anything new? And give me your impression about the umpiring. Do you see anything untoward?
Oh. The one thing I will say definitely going to be changed is the roster situation and the injuries, right? Because in this sort of format, when you're dealing with 4 to 6 week long tournament, I think, in my opinion, we need to have one or two more extra spot on roster because of the World Cup. You can't carry that 14, 15 roster and then switch around for the players when you need it.
The coach, who puts the bill for the players in terms of the accommodation and transportation? Is it the home
that
team?
That is a part of the World
the...
Cup.
No.
This is the part of the World Cup. ICC has to deal with these all participating teams. And if board has to do it, then the ICC does provide the funding to these teams, right? So it is not a something burden because also this World Cup is carrying a huge prize. So this is not a concern. But to make up a good team, that cost goes to the board who has to develop the good team.
And one final question. What is the average cost for tickets to go to a World Cup, say, in the Mankadi Stadium, Lewis? Just give me an idea, just for my curiosity.
I hear it's about 10,000 rupees, which is about $125 US dollars. But
wow.
Unfortunately, the word I have from different places, as they say, these all games are sold out. Means the tickets are not there. Not open for public anymore. And now the momentum is picking up because India is in semifinal as well as final. And now you are expecting Pakistan or Afghanistan going to make semifinal. So whatever remaining things out there in terms of the tickets, I doubt anybody can grab it.
Thank you. Very eye-opening. Liam, before I ask Coach another question, just a little note from Audley for 6:55, if you would please, Liam.
Okay,
Audley.
Yes, okay, I'll take note.
All right. Coach.
Hold on, Dennis. Before I finish this, there's a one question I forgot to answer. Is Leon added that little tweak there in that team. looking at the empire situation. And I will say,
yes,
huge concern. They are doing well. They are okay. But there are some concerns. They created some confusion. There are some late decisions. We are reviewing probably too much to the third empire. And those sort of things aren't going on. The unfortunately, we don't have the tools or some sort of criteria for these empires, right? These are the appointed by ICC for whatever the criteria and selection process they have. But I think beginning this semifinal, we are from the U.S. side going to analyze these empires. Two semifinal and final, we are starting a video analysis on few things about their performance. How quickly they are making decisions. If they are making decisions and if the team is reviewing, how many of them are correct? That sort of thing. And that will can rank the empire truly based on their action on the field.
All right. Thank you for that, Coach. Coach, throughout this tournament, a lot of the talk from commentators and those who are, I would say, well-versed in the game, the talk has been about the reverse swing from bowlers. Can you explain to us exactly what is the reverse swing?
It's more of a technical side, and it's very hard to explain on audio side unless you really see a physical ball in your hand. But in a simplest term, the reverse swing is the ball has two sides on the either side of the grip. And normally what happens during the game, one side is expected to take more wear and tear or some damage than the other side. Maybe even light brushes or something like that. So in that situation, the ball turns into the two side. One is a shiny side. Another is a shiny, but little bit dull than the other side. So whatever the side is, the baller usually use it. This is the special technique, and I call it the most of the master on this reverse swing bowling is from Pakistan. That's where this originally started. So what happens is for the batter, you feel like a ball is coming in, but no, ball is going out after pitching. If you feel the ball is coming straight and it will take swinging away after it pitches, no, the ball is coming in. And that is the outcome of reverse swing. It's not what you see when it's released, but it's taking a different direction after it pitches. That's a reverse swing.
Okay, thank you, Coach. Well, I hope that we can say now that at least we have an idea what the talk is. It sounds so very technical, but it is really quite straightforward and simple when you think of it. The 2027 World Cup is already been slated. What can you tell us about that 2027 World Cup?
The one thing will change is number of teams and their qualifying criteria, because we are expecting 2028 as an Olympic, which is already slated. Absolutely, while we talk here, the World Cup was declared before the cricket is included in Olympic. So at this point, whatever the previous schedule, the ICC has decided to host World Cups or world events like Champions Trophies and T20, they are not going to change. But at the same time, they have to think about Olympic in 2020. So in my opinion, after 2028, things will change in terms of the scheduling this World Cup Champions Trophy T20. And also at the same time, we are looking at two major tournaments, which is not in control of ICC. The one of them is Olympic, because Olympic has their own schedules, and the cricket has to make adjustment to be part of the Olympic. Olympic will not change because of the cricket. Cricket has to change for the Olympic. That's the one thing. Number two, there are few competitions, the franchise cricket like IPL, BBL, European one, and there's a plenty of other, but I believe there are two, three, which are the key, like IPL. I don't think IPL will change. IPL will take their own schedule, and IPL will dictate the authority to change around the world cricket. Depends on the future plans. And the third important thing is the Asia Cup is a growing more important than any other event in a world cricket. Because if you look at this all World Cup in last 15, 16 years, I will say since T20 started, South Asia is giving you 4 to 5 teams in every World Cup. Those are like Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, Sri Lanka, and Bangladesh. Now, these are the same teams compete in Asia Cup. So Asia Cup becomes a mini World Cup for them. And because of that, this year, they did the Asia Cup first before they go to the World Cup. So every team can have practice. Every team can check their standard. Every team can check their performance, and they can go for the World Cup. And that is where India came out ahead. And because of that, even in Asia Cup, they had rested a couple of players. They are in a full strength. So this is like looking at too much cricket. I think after 2028 Olympic, the things will definitely slow down.
Okay. Coach, there's been a lot of talk about the economy worldwide, but with this tournament in India, do you have any idea how this World Cup tournament has affected or assisted or been a boost or a boon against or towards the Indian economy?
It will be definitely a huge boost, and India is going towards the top of that sports world, I call it, because day by day, they are growing the sports interest. No doubt it started with the cricket, but at the same time, they are doing really well. This year, they also hosted first ever time in their sports history. They hosted the International Olympic Committee's meeting in Mumbai. And because of that, there is a keen interest from India to launch a Olympic, first time in India. And because of that and the way the IPL success is, and now this is the huge success, I will say after end of this World Cup, if we have to look at the number, this World Cup has outscored each and every previous World Cups in terms of number of fans, in terms of the number of tickets they sold, in terms of the revenue they generated, in terms of the TV revenue, in terms of the prize money. So this is the economy we're talking. And when we say here, I believe more than one-third fans are coming from outside of the country. That means the people, whoever is going to India, are spending huge amount of money around these stadiums. That includes the accommodation, transportation, they're staying, food, everything. So economy is on the rise. And as I say, India is climbing up to take the leadership role in a sports world. And it is going to happen. Just give them 4 years. They may be competing against the USA in terms of the sports business.
Interesting. Very interesting indeed. Coach, go ahead.
Question before we move on. Coach, in light of the humongous amount of money that is being raised, do you think the ICC will change the way to distribute monies to the countries like the West Indies, whom I believe, though they were not have not qualified, they are still a force to be reckoned with, and people still enjoy their cricket? Do you think they'll change and give them some more funding?
Well, right now, whatever they have set for the plan to distribute the funding to all other associate country and members will carry on. But the biggest challenge will come. We already have faced the two hurdles so far in past 15 years, I will say. First time, it was a deal came out, even approved, like the three largest country who are contributing more money, they will get the more funding out of it. And after that, we got the reversal, a little bit different, and got a little bit more money to the associate country and development, right? And now we are at the probably very soon in third stage, because these countries who are contributing and making more money needs the more return. And because of that, and as always, in any sport, when the money comes, problem starts. That starts with the administration, management, and the budget, and all sort of things. And you need to look into the West Indies side. Sorry to take the traffic here, but I will say what's happening in West Indies now. I will say very soon, these crises are going up, up, and up. It is not just Jamaica only now. Other countries will start. And because of that, there is always issue about this money. Who is contributing, who is making, and who is getting. So in the shortest way, I can explain to you in West Indies why this crisis is coming. There are 5 or 6 countries are doing really well in cricket. I can hand count Guyana, Trinidad, Jamaica, Barbados, and then it comes little bit pie here and there about Antigua and some St. Lucia and those islands, right? But you got the CARICOM like 42 countries. So let's say if the 42 countries, West Indies is a one team, if everyone has to contribute, then think about the island who has nothing to do with the cricket. Why they support cricket? They are not even playing for it, right? Same thing the other way. If these 5-6 countries are making good money, they are the ones generating money. They are the bringing the all superstars to this game. And whatever the funding coming, why they should give it to the country who does not contribute nothing?
Oh,
and by the way, look at the West Indies history. Let me give you last word. Let me give you last word. This is the West Indies team. Go back and check it out. When they got the membership in ICC, I'm going about 95 years back, 1926, 1926, and they played the first game in 1928. But at that time, entire Caribbean was Commonwealth countries under the British, let's say, right? And because of that, the union happened. They said, okay, we can bring all this country. We have some British influence. They are the Commonwealth. We can play together. It did happen. But now what happened in 19th century? After that, we are seeing that some of the countries are independent. Like Guyana did it. Recently, Barbados did it. And if you look at the Commonwealth country map, I believe Jamaica and a couple of islands left. Less of them has their own government. This government always concerned about what they are doing for their civilians and what they're getting back. And that is the point this is going to trigger because of the money and the power. And then the third thing comes as the politics. So because of that, I will say this funding issue will always concern. And whenever in any sport, not just cricket, if you got the money, yes, arguments coming, disagreements coming, and the crisis coming too. It depends on how they make decisions.
Thank you. Thank you, Coach. Now, Coach, I've been hearing whispers about a global watch party. Have you heard these whispers, and do you know anything about it you can share with us?
Well, as I said, there's a lot of things are possible, and the more the popularity grows, more the people can see money, more the people can see opportunity, things are going to take competitive side. But at the same time, there is a huge concern and risk. If you don't participate or engage each and everyone, there are some factors going to take new route, not to just compete, but it's giving the opportunity to the others. So I have not heard too much about this, but there's plenty of things are going around the world in almost every country, I will say, wherever the cricket is, and especially in T20 franchise. Look at that. It's not just major IPL, CPL, or BBL. you're going to find maybe 150 other local leagues they claim as a T20 Premier League.
Okay. Any celebrations likely for this T20 finale? Anything on the books? Anything that we should be aware of?
Not soon, but I will say just like that test cricket is losing quality and quantity both now. They don't play that many tests anymore, and the quality is going down in terms of the players' performance and the desire to play game, as well as we are missing the crowd in the tents, and it is going to happen to ODI very soon. And eventually, T20 will get the opposition from the T10 world, which is now growing up very soon. There are a few tournaments is on the radar, but I will not be surprised in next 3 years if ICC says, okay, let's play T10.
Hmm. Okay.
Audley, Dennis, Audley's aboard.
Right. Good evening, Audley. I'm not sure how much of our discussion you've heard, but it's almost time for Coach to leave us. However, I give you one opportunity to raise any questions you might have on the World Cup so far. We're not discussing the exact scores. We're just talking in general terms about the World Cup and its impact on cricket and on the countries that's slated to host.
Well, I think I'll just, first of all, let's say good evening to all my fellow panelists, good listeners around the world. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening to you all. Yeah, I think the discussion has come in a little more with that one, because I just came in as I, just came in.
Yeah,
so
fine.
I missed everything.
Fine. All right, fine.
So a little, late, well, little later on with this.
Yeah, Coach, we're about to wrap up, so if you have a final thought you want to give us before we wrap this show, this portion of the show up, please feel free to go ahead.
No, that's a great discussion today about that beyond the action activities on field. So that's a good thing to cover, but definitely let's move on with whatever agenda we have for tonight. And
okay.
I'll be definitely joined to you later tonight to carry on our discussion on West Indies and other sort of cricket world.
All right. Thank you, Coach. And thank you once again for your insights, your knowledge and experience. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time right here on The Cricket Show. There is no doubt that Coach Patel have answers to the questions you have been asking. The question that says, how did he do that? Or why did he do that? Maybe you will say, I am going to do that next time. Thank you, and good night. Goodbye for now, Coach. See you later.
Thank you all.
Okay.
Thank you too. Appreciate
Leon, I'm getting a little bit of feedback here. Leon, can you see?
I don't know who he's doing. Where he's coming from? I asked the panelists if they could be kind enough to. Okay, I don't want to mute anybody at this point, but just. If there are any anyone talking behind the scene, please do. We just want to welcome Audley. And Audley, why don't you give us the inside edge, and then we'll go right into Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour.
Okay, so the inside edge for the day, we must find something to cheer up the poor Englishmen. I was trying to find the thing that slipped my... Yeah, they're really in a bad position. So I have to find something to cheer up the Englishman. Did you know that the highest score ever made in a ODI 50 over match, obviously, was made by England? They scored 498 for 4 against the Netherlands. Back in June of 2022. It was not World Cup. It was not a World Cup match, but still I need something to cheer up the poor Englishmen. And, of course, they're my third favorite team when it comes to cricket. The highest ever made in an official ODI, 498 for 4 in 50 overs, and that was against the Netherlands, made by England in 2022, the 17th of June. That's it for the inside edge.
Okay.
Thank you.
In the background, you know it's time for the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. It's the time of the evening when we take a look in the cricket and fraternity and we say happy birthday, happy anniversary, or it's the time when you also can call in your birthdays or anniversary. It's 515-605-9850, 515-605-9850. Welcome to the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. And of course, that man, Mr. Walter Henry, have you ever wondered who is this guy? He's the father of one Mr. Ivor Henry. And Mr. Walter Henry will be having his anniversary. He was born on the 8th of November, so he's right in the middle of the mix for this week and this month, as a matter of fact. Okay, so today is the 5th of November. Mandy, Dennis's sister-in-law, she is having a birthday today. And back to cricket, Jason Holder and David Allen, both Bajan from West Indies. Muhammad Yunis from Bahrain. Eddie Finder, Leonard Wilkinson, Andy Lloyd and Timothy O'Brien, all from England. Usman Mushtaq from the United Arab Emirates. And the man of the day who equals Sachin Tendulkar's record of 49 ODIs, Virat Kohli, turned 35 today. Virat Kohli and Shiv Sundarbas Das, also from India. And we have Jay Udanra from Oman, along with Khalid Rashid, Kenneth Walters and George Blissett from South Africa. Pete Rinker from Zimbabwe, Jess Jefferson, female cricketer from Australia, Rabat Jayasuriya from Sri Lanka, and Herbert McGregor from New Zealand. And for the sixth, we have Eric Atkinson from Barbados, Hugh Crosgill out of Jamaica, and Mr. Bishu, Vinder Bishu from Guyana, Anima Islam from Bangladesh. We have Alan Leslie, Jeff Bino, Brian McKenzie, Catherine Bean, all from New Zealand, Graham Wood, and Graham Wood from Australia, Jack O'Connor from England, Maxine Introp from the Netherlands, and Hashatullah Hamed from Pakistan. For the seventh, we have the greatest evangelist of all time, Billy Graham. Yes, he was born on the 7th of November, 1918. And he died, just before his 100th birthday. He died 2018 in February. So, as remembered, the great evangelist, Billy Graham. John Barnes played soccer for England. He was born in Jamaica, went to England when he was small, of course, represent England for quite a while. Johnny Barnes, and Virgil and Runa, Virgil's aunt, yeah, Aunt Runa, Virgil. So after cricket, we have Charles Townsend, Edward Arnold, Lloyd Tennyson, Mary Duggan, and Claire Wilson, all from England, Ron Hart, Debbie Hackley, James Franklin, Rosemary Muir, all from New Zealand. We have Russell Islam from Bangladesh, Wayne Phillips out of Australia. We have Tahir Moody from Pakistan, along with Harris Roff, a speedster, fast bowler. And for the gentleman, Mr. Walter Henry, yes, father of Mr. Ivor Henry. His birthday is on the 8th of September. Yes, we remember Mr. Walter Henry every week on this show because that's where we get the name from, the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour, Mr. Ivor Henry's dad. So happy birthday, Mr. Henry. We remember, it's more of a remembrance, yes, but gone but not forgotten. And my nephew, Shay Spence, my nephew, Gene's son, Shay is celebrating a birthday today. The thing with my sister, she had three children, one son, two daughters, and all three were born in November. So, Ivor, that one, I don't think you can beat that one. And, okay, it's also the anniversary of, remember Professor Christian Bernard? When he performed the first heart transplant, that was way back in 1967. Yep, December 1967. Back to cricket. Mark Nita out of Jamaica and Akeem Jordan. I'm not quite sure which of the islands he's from, but Akeem Jordan. Tommy Mann, Simon Davis, and Brett Lee are from Australia. David Hemp from Bermuda. We have Joseph Aguera from Kenya, Trevor McHorn from New Zealand, Jack Heron from Zimbabwe, Fatima Sama from Pakistan, and Tilka Verma from India. For the ninth, the debut of Mr. Courtney Walsh in Test cricket versus Australia, and that was back in 1984. Gospel singer Danny McClurkin, yes, you remember that song, like, you want to be like a Jamaican, you have to shout like a Jamaican, yeah, Jesus, so sweet. You
remember medley, that? The medley.
The medley, yes, Danny McClurkin. He was born back in 1959. Back to cricket, John Shepherd from Barbados and Kirk McKenzie out of Jamaica. We have Lucy O'Reilly from Ireland, Joe Hardstaff from England, along with Alfred Dipper. From Scotland, we have Hamza Tahir, Matthew Sinclair from New Zealand, and he is the guy that scored the first three centuries he made a debut at 214, Matthew Sinclair. Ryan Devon Steele from Bermuda, Privet Shaw from India, Edward van der Marvel from South Africa, and we have Joseph Rinker from Fiji, Stephen Taylor from United States, and this was when Bangladesh became the 10th nation to play Test cricket. And that was back in 2000. And Pakistan, they played against Pakistan. Pakistan won by 9 wickets. For the 10th, Seymour Nurse out of Barbados, Shea Hope from Barbados as well, and Tony Baker, sports commentator, late sport journalist from Jamaica. Naseem Ashraf and Zahid Faisal from Pakistan. Aftab Ahmed from Bangladesh, Bess McNeil and Ben Wheeler from New Zealand, Martin Henley from South Africa, J.J. Smith from Namibia, and Tahula Magath, female cricketer out of Australia. And finally, on the 11th, singer out of Jamaica. He must be a short man. I've never seen him personally, but he goes by the name of Half Pint. His real name is Lincoln Roberts, but his stage name is Half Pint. Yeah, out of Jamaica. We celebrate him. He was born back in 1961. Roy Fredericks out of Guyana. Leon Garrick from Jamaica. Adlia Aliane from Barbados, female cricketer. Lou Vincent, Michael Owen, and K.E. Ibrahim, female, all out of New Zealand. Sohil Faisal, Nia Ahmed from Pakistan. Ben Holyoak, Tom Beaton, Benton from England. Rusty Moody and Sanju Samson out of India. And that's what I have for you here for the birthday, for the time being. I'm back to you, or Dennis.
Okay, yes, we're back to... Let's start off with Virgil. Virgil, do you have any birthdays or any significant occasion you'd like to mention at this point? How about you, Hyacinth? Hyacinth, do you have any birthdays that you wish to...
Oh, sorry about that.
Okay,
yeah,
come on in, Virgil. Come in.
Yeah. I'd like to say my condolence to my son, girlfriend, Tim, Crystal, who lost her mom on the same day of my son's birthday, which was the 29th, and that was so sad.
Wow.
So I just want to say my condolence to both of them. And also a special happy birthday to two twins in Antigua, Tia and Tamira. They're celebrating happy belated birthday. They celebrate their birthday on the 3rd of this month. And I know they're listening to me right now. So I just want to tell them happy, happy 11th birthday. And I wish them all the best and many more to come. And make sure they eat off all the chicken that they get tonight. Happy birthday, Pierre. And Tamira. Thank you.
Yeah, how about you? Okay. Donna, any birthdays? You may want to share any family members. None this week?
Not this week, no.
Okay. And Hyacinth, it's your time to tell us what's going on, if anybody in England crying. That's a part of it, too. Hyacinth? Hyacinth, one, twice, three times. Dennis?
Yes, my sister-in-law is today, and
wait a moment,
I hardly did mention her birthday, so once again, just wish her, Mandy, my sister up in Canada, my sister-in-law, a happy, very happy birthday.
Okay.
Back to you.
Yes. Just want to just wish everybody well. Just wish my sisters and my brothers who are ill in New York best wishes. They are going through some struggles. All four of them are not doing too well. One has a stroke, two have dementia, and the other one has old age, but he's younger than me. So what you say to me? I'm old age too. So, anyone else? I just want to play, offer my sympathy. Go ahead. Oh, that's right.
Before you play, I have a couple more. If you, I just allow.
Yeah. Why don't you bring them in?
Okay. So a former co-worker, Joe Walker, he is celebrating his birthday today, and my niece that. My niece that died at Kimberly a few years ago, her stepmom, Patsy, is celebrating a birthday today also. My Florida mechanic, Hal Brown, H-A-L, he will be celebrating his birthday tomorrow along with Mr. Seaborg. Seaborg celebrating tomorrow as well. And we have Veterans Day coming up on the 10th. And my cousin that's living in Maryland, Kemp Prout. Kemp will be celebrating on Saturday. So that's what I have here from my end, Mr. Chai.
And I just want to say thank you all for that. I just want to say congratulations to the ones who have gotten honors and the independence celebration over in Antigua. And congratulations to the Antigua and Barbuda Association of South Florida. They had a wonderful banquet last night. I wasn't able to come to go, but from all reports, it was well attended and well appreciated. Got one little song here lined up. And I hope that the folks would have loved it. I just chose it at random.
I've been loving you too long.
wanna stop now. But you know, and you wanna be free, but my love. Happy to me. I've been loving you that much too long. Please don't make me stop now. Oh, I don't wanna stop now. I've been loving you.
By the name of Roy Richards. Over the years, we knew him well as a guy that makes the harmonica talk, the harmonica whistles, the harmonica that does just about everything. And they had some concert, and that guy took the mic, and he sung that Otis Redding song, and he blew the house down.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna make a request, Leon. I don't know if you'll find it next week. He plays the harmonica, Roy Richards. And he
Roy Richards.
Has a song by the name of Roy Richards, and he has a song by the name of Contact. You know, it's I think the ska or the drum, but it's just instrumental. Contact.
Okay.
Roy
Contact.
Richards.
Roy Richards.
All right. So.
Contact.
So
thank
this,
you. I'll do that.
Yeah, so this has been the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. Join us next week, just about 7 o'clock. When we'll do it all over again. Remember the man himself, Walter Henry, we are celebrating the anniversary of his birth on the 8th of this month. Don't forget, all right? So join us next week, God willing. We'll do it all over again. The Walter Henry birthday.
Indeed, indeed.
Back to you, gentlemen.
Yes, indeed. And now we come to the part of the show. Thank you so much, Audley. We come to the part of the show when we turn it over to Dennis, he's going to focus on the law. Dennis?
Yes, thank you, Leon. I'm happy to ask Meritrice to present to us this week's review of Focus of the Law on Cricket. Meritrice? Oops, is she, oh, Leon, she's muted. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay.
Leon,
muted?
Okay.
Okay,
no,
good.
Go ahead. You're on.
Once again, it's time we focus on the cause of cricket. The goal of this segment, focus on the cause of cricket, is to give a brief overview of the laws. We do not intend to give a line-by-line statement of each law. Our focus today is on law number 12. Law 12, start and cessation of play. Bowlers and umpire shall all play before the first ball is bowled, and controversially, time must be called by the umpire session or an interval, and at that time, the umpire removed the bails from the wicket. Law 12 is clear that the umpire walking at normal pace arrives at the stump before the time set for play to end, then a new over must be bowled. However, in the last hour of match play, the next over bowled shall be the first of the conditional 20 overs minimum to be bowled. If an interruption of play occurs during the final hour of the match, it is the duty of the umpire to make an adjustment in the number of overs to be bowled. The calculations will be based on the of time lost in increments of 3 minutes of playing time. One over shall be deducted for each 3 minutes of time lost. In the event of additional disruptions, then a new calculation is made for the additional amount of time lost. The time lost must be calculated and treated separately, not be added or as one unit of time. Match interruptions for any reason during this final hour of play may become problems, and so umpires must be very careful and knowledgeable about the mathematical permutations and calculations to arrive at the correct solution with respect to the final decision, especially when officiating at local club level. Sorry for that. In professional matches, there are usually professionals available to assist the umpire with the required skilled and knowledgeable umpire will make note of special situations occurring during match situations and interruptions. For example, the time interruption occurred and the number of balls bowled plus the name of the bowler at the time, the batter to take the strike and the bowling for each batter. Both umpires must consult and work together during match interruptions and together with the scorer and the team captains chart the correct actions for play. An in-depth study and application of Law 12 is essential for satisfactory conclusion of the match. Here in the Law 12.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Marjorie. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We just can't do without the ladies now. Everything.
Mm-hmm. Just one thought that came to my mind, Audley and Dennis. Years ago, I used to wonder why so many wickets fall in the last ball of the day.
Now we know, Leon.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll have Hyacinth Vincent will be presenting for us a focus on the laws, looking at laws 13 and 14. So, Hyacinth, next week's presentation, and the following week we'll have Donna making presentation on laws 15 and 16. Thank you, Leon.
Thank you, Dennis, and thank you, Mertris, and everyone who... Any other questions before we move on? All right. Isn't it interesting to go to the laws? Any comments from anybody? Okay.
It has a lot of eye-openers as we go along. A lot of time we take things for granted. We know certain things. We know to be X, Y, Z. And then sometimes we just totally just forgot about it. And then all this is great. Some are brand new, and some are really some good refreshers course. So it's really good to be doing this.
Yeah, that is the...
And one other point, Audley, as Leon said, he used to wonder why the last wicket always fell on the last ball of the day.
So many wickets fall on the last ball of the day.
We know that, a minute to
ten
go
minutes.
Or whatever, you know. Not 10 minutes, maybe a minute or two. For the time to transfer for one batsman going out to the next one, they just umpire
exactly.
can call it. That's it for the day. The ball will continue. The final couple of balls also the following day.
Yes, indeed. Very, very well, good. But very well put together, and thank you for Mertris. Folks, shall we move on? Hey, anyone have anything in their mind they want to talk? Anybody want to talk about the Leeward, the CG? CG. It's called Super 50. Anyone want to share anything with us?
I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to listen.
What they say that when the World Cup is on, nobody watches the CG?
Well, the players probably don't either. And so do the players. But we've had some lackluster games. Let's be honest with you. The CG 50, we've introduced, or CWI has introduced, a few new names and new faces. And they've gone through the motions, but the cricket has not been overwhelmingly appealing and attractive. We have the current champions, Jamaica, who are dismal. They have lost six of their six matches. And right now, you know, the semi-finals is due to be played next weekend. Next weekend, I think this next Saturday and Sunday, I think will be the first of the first two semi-finals, and then the final the next day. Last match before the semi-final is going to be on the 11th. Today. Barbados will play Trinidad and Tobago. On the table, we have Leeward Island at the top with 44 points and Trinidad and Tobago second with 40 points. And obviously, Barbados and the West Indies Academy are bringing in 3 and 4. So I think the top four will play in the semifinal, and the final will be the following week. And that so far.
Wait, must note though, Dennis, that the Leewards have played 7 matches, while Trinidad and Tobago played 6, and Barbados playing 6. But they are in action right now. I think Barbados, Trinidad and Tobago made 293 or 96, and Barbados were replying with 20 without loss. That's the last I heard. And then, of course, you need to. Number four, we have the Windward Islands Academy and the CCG joint seventh. They're joint seventh because I see they have 7 and 7. Oh, no, they played seven matches. I'm sorry. Seven matches.
TCG, you said C, the combined colleges is number.
And the combined colleges and campuses have played seven matches, and they had 29 points. The West Indies Academy played seven, and they have 33 points. Then Guyana, they have played six. They have 25 points. The Windward Islands have played seven and 19 points. And Jamaica played six, and they have 7 points. That's what I have. I don't know if...
Seven bonus points, yes.
Is it seven or one bonus point? Seven bonus points.
Seven bonus points.
Yes, seven bonus points. Anyway, anyone wants to comment on anything?
Well, I just want to make one remark. Just one remark. Mm-hmm. Do you think anybody can beat Jamaica for the bottom place? Nobody taking up the challenge?
Nobody can beat them. They were former champions. They're defending champions. Nobody can beat them for that.
You know, they remind me of England right now.
Yeah.
Defending champions in the World Cup. And they're sitting firmly at the bottom. Well, they're just copying Jamaica.
Well, the other important, interesting point, Leon, is that I think it was Trinidad who had an injury, and Nicholas Poran was actually brought back in or coerced to come and play in this. Presumably, he may have been played in this match that's ongoing tonight, Leon. But I know he came back too.
And Shepherd also, too. Dennis Shepherd, too, has been replaced. He went home for personal reasons. For the guy on the side, too. I think I heard that. I don't know the replacement. It's a name that I am not familiar with.
Yes, I heard the name, too, but it's somewhat of a very new name.
Yes, indeed. Any questions for anybody? Okay. Yes, sir.
Virgil?
I heard Dennis said Nicholas Perrine came back. Came back to play some games. Came back from where?
That's a figure of speech, Virgil. I didn't mean to say that he had gone somewhere. He's been drafted to return to the Trinidad team. I have no idea where he was or what he had been doing.
I think he was resting. So too was Holder. Jason Holder, they didn't play. They were not selected. No, asked to be rested.
Okay.
Rested for what? For our tournament.
Personally, they needed some downtime, Virgil. They needed some downtime. They played a lot of cricket during the summer, so they decided to forego this tournament.
I don't mind how much cricket they play. They cannot be rested. I want time off when it comes to our cricket. Our cricket is what take them all over the world. So then they're not supposed to be rested for our cricket. They're supposed to be rested. Any other team want them, and they want to say, well, I'm going to take 2 weeks before I come to you. I understand that. But not when it comes to our cricket. They shouldn't be having them rested for our cricket.
Well, that's what happened when we have freedom of choice and of, work, contracts, and so on and so forth. They're not compelled to play, but if asked for whatever reason, they may decide to come back and play. So that is the situation, I'm afraid. We have to love it. You know what they say, no fault contract or...
objection clause.
No objection clause, so you really can't punish them for not.
But let's put it this way, Dennis. They ask permission to be excluded. I don't think they drop themselves or just walk off the side. They ask permission for the West Indies Cricket Board, and West Indies have given them permission, given them the opportunity to rest. You never know the circumstances under which these people are asking for. I would love to see them all play. But there comes a time, too, they need a little rest. We may not like it. We want to see all our players in, but who knows? Before we go, though, I have some news in terms of the player standing, in terms of the runs scored and the wickets taken. And this may not be up to date because I don't have a 2 days updates, but I have Justin Graves. He has scored 328 runs from 6 matches, and he has hit some 3 sixes. Alec Atanasis is second. After playing 6 matches, he has scored 276 runs and with a strike rate of 96. By the way, Graves' strike rate is 85.40. Shuffering Rutherford, doing well. 6 matches, 246 runs, 113.89 strike rate with 16 sixes. Teddy Bishop, 5 matches, 241 runs, 103.43 strike rate, and he has hit some 3 sixes. Shane Dowidge, you remember Shane Dowidge? Oddly, you did. 6 matches, 234 runs, 92.13 strike rate with 6 sixes. Kadeem Allen, 6 matches, 225 runs, 125.00 strike rate, and 12 sixes. Kegon Utley scored and played 6 matches, 223 runs, 81.99 strike rate, 4 sixes. Kyron Powell, 6 matches, 207 runs, 155.64 with 12 sixes. Remember the blistering 80 he made? That for Mel. He hit some real good sixes there. And Trevin Imlock, he played 6 matches, 203 runs, 70.98 with 2 sixes. And a top 10, the final in the 10, the group of 10, Johan Jeremiah, 6 matches, 203 runs, 104.64 as his strike rate, and he had 3 sixes. Any comments about the run scored that we have so far? Any comments about it? Are you impressed with Graves, folks? He is from the Leeward Islands. We have 2 Leeward Islands in the side, Justin Graves and Kyron Powell.
Well, it's clear, Leon, that because of their performance, the Leeward Island is obviously on top of the table right now, and those two gentlemen have contributed a great amount of the offense that we've seen that kept the Leeward Island on top of the table there.
Let's move on to the number of wickets taken. Hayden Walsh on top of the standings with 6 matches, 16 wickets. His best performance was 5 for 48, and his strike rate is 16.31. In second place is Yannick Carriott, 5 matches. Correa. 5 matches, 15 wickets, best figures of 5 for 34, strike rate of 14.40. In third place is Daniel Durham. From where? St. Martin? 6 matches, 13 wickets, 7 for 29, that famous 7 for 29 against Jamaica. And his average at present is 20.69. Sonil Narayan in fourth place, 6 matches, 12 wickets, 3.3 for 30, an average of 21.50. Ross Chase, 5 matches, 12 wickets, 4 for 34, best figures, with 23.50. Name Young, 5 matches, 12 wickets, 5 for 49, at an average of 16.33. And Gurakesh Muti, 6 matches, 11 wickets, 5 for 17, and an average of 29.36. No, wait a moment. They have here? Okay, average strike rate, right. Strike rate of 29 points. It should be not strike rate, but average for wicket. Kevin Sinclair, 6 matches, 11 wickets, 3 for 30 at 29.36. Abhikesh Mansingh, I hope I have the first name right, 6 matches, 11 wickets, 2 for 46 at 32.18. And Alzari Joseph, he also had some 6 matches, 10 wickets, 3 for 34 at an average of 26.80. So what we see, the spinners are occupying the top 10, Hayden Walsh, Carrier, Daniel Durham, Sonil Narine, Ralston Chase. Nain Young is a medium pacer, right? Gurakesh Muti is in seventh place. Kevin Sinclair, another spinner. Mansingh is another spinner. And Joseph as the other pacer. So two pacers in the top 10. I don't know if these averages might have changed in a day or two. But this might be 3 days old.
Leon,
any comments? Anything anybody want to comment about?
Leon, I think there's a correction in the bowling there. Kevin Sinclair of Guyana, he's an off-break bowler. He has 14 wickets, so I think he's about number 3 in that list you just gave.
Well, this is needed to be updated. This is what I have so far.
Agreed. Mm. Kevin Sinclair, at any rate.
And anybody else, because they must have played, Guyana must have played some more matches. Maybe Rutherford might have been changed as well, and Teddy, Allen. Who Allen plays for? Kadeem Adam, he plays for the Academy or the...
I'm not so
familiar with these players, but the important thing is that we have something to chew on. Any questions, any comments, Guys, are you satisfied with the standard of play? Do you believe these guys are watching the World Cup instead of resting in the evenings to come out and play? I don't know if any comments along that line, but I have a feeling that they might be drained for not getting enough rest and coming to play in the hot sun. But who knows? Some are doing well. I like to see a man like Hayden Walsh, and I just want to see Hayden Walsh in the side again.
When is it getting enough rest? I mean, what? They don't sleep when night comes?
I'm not saying that. I'm just surmising. I'm not saying that, Virgil. I'm saying perhaps they're not. I'm not saying they don't get enough rest.
Yeah, but now I'm trying to find a reason why would you just say something like that? I mean,
Virgil,
what would we stop them from getting rest?
Virgil.
Huh?
Getting up early to watch some of those World Cup matches.
Yeah, World Cup, the game didn't start like 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. I mean.
Yeah, just in case maybe they're taking the first 3 hours or so to watch some World Cup cricket, and, that will take away. Well, he's not saying that is, the situation, but we never know, But the way they've been playing sort of lackluster cricket, as if they are sort of detached from what is going on. So, their attention could be elsewhere.
Yeah, that's normal for our cricket the last 5 years or maybe more. So we don't put the World Cup inside there.
Look, I hope when you're talking, you're not including Mr. Jason Holder. Today is his birthday, so we cannot disrespect him. All right.
But Jason Holder, by the way, today's Coley's birthday too, right?
Yeah, Coley and Jason Holder.
Holder, in good company, man. You got to give the guy a chance to go and enjoy birthday, Virgil.
And you see what Kohli, you see what Kohli did for his birthday, right?
Yeah.
And we don't know what Jason did for his birthday.
Okay, Kohli make 100.
35 today, Jason Wola is 33.
Yeah,
rather.
Kohli make 100 for his birthday.
We don't know what Jason did. Can you show? Do you think what he does?
Did he Did he get 5 wickets today for his birthday?
I don't know.
was he playing in the first place? The first.
He wasn't playing in the international
was
cricket.
Was he involved in
a
match?
Okay. No. Maybe he's in the World Cup for all we know. He might be up there watching
Leon.
The games.
Leon.
Yes, sir.
I remember a couple of weeks ago when Kohli was out for 96 or 94, one of them. We're trying to hit a six to reach his 100. And we're all mad at him. I mean, I wanted him to reach that so badly. Then again, he was out for 83 and the next time for 88. So he could have had at least another 3 centuries to put on top of the one today. But unfortunately, it didn't happen. But this is a very memorable one because when you score a century on your birthday, on your 35th birthday, and to equal with Tendulkar. But the only thing I'm sorry for is it was not when he was out in the 90s trying to hit a six to get to the century. Today's century would mean that he would have surpassed Tendulkar. But since he equals Tendulkar on this day, we just have to take it. But I'm sorry it wasn't that the one that puts him ahead.
Okay. Good. Any other thoughts? Any other thoughts on the West Indies cricket? Anybody stood out? I see Atanasi is not doing too badly, but, you know, we still need some more. I hope he's not satisfied with that.
Leon, the question is, to what extent will CWI put any great importance on this series of the CP50? Yes, our players were provided a way to keep themselves match fit, but that's just about the only thing we can say because the product on the field lacked a certain class and finesse that we've come to expect from cricketers who we've seen playing this game for many, many years. So that is not something
I kind of understand what you're saying, Dennis, but I'm saying as professionals, these guys have a duty to perform for themselves and for the country they represent. You need to be kept fit, keep yourself fit, match ready, because you don't know when you're going to be called. You may not be picked. West Indies are due to host England. They're going to be touring Australia and India, and of course, as well as the other tournaments in between. These guys have got to take this thing serious. Wake up. If they're not, I mean, fully awake after missing out on the World Cup, you know, what else it needs? You know, you may not win, but the limelight that these guys are put through is enough, man. If you go to a World Cup, I tell you, Jason will tell you. They will tell you how great that is. Yes, that's my advice to them. Hey, listen, you cannot take anything for granted. You see little Afghanistan, as it were, how they're making headway. You see how the Netherlands are pushing put their head to say we exist too. You got to take us. Don't take us for granted. West Indies gave them 374, and they were able to knock it off. Well, guys, West Indies, but the flair that West Indies always bring to any kind of sport of this nature is really missed. But you got to play for it. You just can't get it like something on a platter. You have to earn it. Anyone else has any points to raise in that matter? Dennis?
No, I think
Audley, anything? Virgil? How about you, Hyacinth?
No.
Do you have a question to ask? Donna? Hi, Cindy. Is asleep?
No problem.
I'm right here. I don't really get to watch the games. I only watch the results. But I'm glad that Lee was kind of at the top of there, you know?
Yes.
And my only concern is that the performers in this tournament, most of them wouldn't even get a pit in the West Indies side.
Goodness. But Jeremiah Louis and a couple of players from Navy, I think it's, have been included in the squad. And how are they going to be when the nucleus of the team go to Australia?
I said I'll be listening out to see how many of them make the West Indies team. I'll be listening.
Mm-hmm. But you would go and watch them still, though.
If you get three tickets.
I am so happy with Indies that has been World Cup now. I'm so happy with Afghanistan pulling out such a performance. I'm really happy. West Indies are out there. They would have been like England.
Donna, just let them know that we'll go and watch it if we get three tickets.
You said the tickets cost an average of $125 US.
We're talking about the Caribbean tournament that's going on.
The Caribbean tournament. Isn't it free?
Yeah.
It's free. Okay, we have... Yeah, I think it's free.
No. You're talking about the West Indies game. You're talking about...
Hyacinth is back with us and Simon is back with us too. Simon and Hyacinth.
I was always here, but I can hear you, but you can't hear me. You couldn't hear me. Can you hear me now?
Yes, can hear you
clear. Okay, good.
And we want you to say hello to Simon. He has just come on the same time like you did. Any thoughts on the... That's a gentleman who came to see you when he visited London.
We just talk.
Okay. Simon, good evening to you, sir. We are ready for your question. And I want you to greet all. Go ahead.
And I also greet everyone, like Dennis and Cardinal, Audley, Donna, Mertris, Virgil, Mr. Patel, Jetna, Ivor, Mr. McKenzie, and I just heard from my good friend there from good old London, England.
Hi,
so
Dennis.
I hope everyone had a wonderful
Simon.
Week last week. Looking forward to a much better week this week. Hope everyone is safe.
Simon, you may proceed with the question. Now we waited long enough for it, but please make it easy.
Okay, I'll give you a very easy question tonight. Okay, since you asked for an easy one, I'm going to give you an easy question. Question for tonight is 5th of November. Number of test runs scored. These are test runs scored by a player called Sunil Gavaskar in his career. And the second part of the question, which country did he play for? I'm going to repeat it. The number of test runs scored by Sunil Gavaskar and which country did he play for? This is test runs in his whole career.
10,000.
I know
from India.
He's the first man to score 10,000 plus. Yes, I know he's the first 10,000.
India. I don't know. Just 10,000 plus. Let's say that. India.
You're in the ballpark. You're in the ballpark.
India.
And you said it's for India. That's correct. So you got 50%.
No. Simon, you cannot say that. I'm correct. At the end of the contest. Virgil may say Antigua. Who knows? And I'm wrong.
Okay.
I'll go to
the panel then. Which country did Sunil Gavaskar play for?
We know it's India. You asked, and then it's about 10,275 runs that Gavaskar scored. That's just a big guess. I know it's over 10,000. First,
it would
be over 10,000.
Okay, thank you so much.
Hyacinth, you want to check?
You said 10,000. I'm going to say 9,999.
Okay, thanks.
He was over 10,000.
Thanks so much to our English friend there.
Okay. 10,001.
Okay, thank you so much. I make a promise now to the world, to you. Next time we come to England, we have to meet for tea. How is that?
Fine.
Change it to coffee.
Well, if she wants coffee, but I'll have tea.
No, I have tea as well.
Go ahead. Who is next? Virgil, you want to give us an answer?
India, 11,800.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
11,800, Virgil says.
Thank you, Virgil. Thank you.
Amen.
How about you, Donna? You want to guess, Donna?
Yeah. 11,500.
Okay, 11,500. Which country you played for?
India. And I now look at him in commentary.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, uh-oh. Yes, that's right. He's... Who else? Who else?
Coach
is with us too?
Yes, and don't look at the computer.
Coach is with us. Coach knows Gavaskar's total, man. Coach, what is the number of runs that Gavaskar scored?
Test runs.
And the name of the country. perhaps you can tell us the village where he came from, too.
Or maybe he can't hear us from where he is.
Maybe he's not listening yet. What we brought him in.
Yeah, Simon, I hope he wasn't saying West Indies.
Yes, Simon, my guess is he's obviously from India and his test score is 10,200.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay.
He started with India against West Indies, in West Indies, and I think he's the first one to score 10,000. I witnessed live, but he ended up his career.
That's right. That's
I think 10,122 or 123.
10,122.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr.
Because he retired before the 10,000. That was the last test series. So I think it's 10,122 or 123. That's the final, his tally.
Okay. Anybody else, Mr. President? Anybody else?
No, I don't think nobody else. Let me see if anybody else is on the board. No. No one else.
Yeah, I'm
going to
give you my test score here from the cricket book from ICC London. And it said Sunil Gavaskar played for a country called India. And he made in his test career 10,122 runs.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr.
10-1-22.
Mr. Patel, you're in the ballpark. You're right there in the ballpark. You get first prize.
Okay, right. I said 10,000 square even. So we're all in the ballpark.
10,000.
Right. Now, Donna, ask, would you be kind enough to ask Simon a question, please?
Yeah. Ask me how many players. Ask me a hard one, Donna. How many players play the cricket team?
Wait, Simon, listen. Repeat, please, Donna. Please repeat.
Where's the World Cup being played at present?
How many what?
Where is the World Cup being played at the present moment? World Cup 2023.
I will say in the country of India.
All right.
Well done, Simon. Put that in
your
book.
You see how much I learned from getting on the show with you, knowledgeable people?
bravo.
Okay, yes, I love this game of cricket. So, training right now in India.
Okay. Let's focus on the coach. Coach, what are your thoughts about the West Indies and the West Indies Championship?
Lately, I'm not following too much because this thing is started in parallel to World Cup, and people have a more interest in World Cup rather than local West Indies cricket, you know. So I'm to be honest with you, I'm not even reading scores.
because I'm tired of it.
Do you think if you were a cricketer, you would be watching the World Cup and not concentrating on playing cricket if you were a cricketer?
100%. If I have to play a higher level, why should I wait and deal with this backyard local cricket? I better look for the competition up ahead, because that is what your dream is.
But then if you don't play, my question though is your priority. Would you, if you're selected to play for the Leeward Islands side, you get a knock, they lose a player, would you focus on retaining that selection or sit up on the nights and watch World Cup cricket?
Well, there is a straightforward answer on this one. If you are skipping the local game and watching World Cup, this does not make sense to any player. Because the player loves to be part of the game at any level possible. Number two, if I have opportunity to play, I will play rather than watch. And it has nothing to do with what the level of. But if you are already an existing international player, then yes, it does make sense not to play local and watch the game. So there's a three different answer. Depends who decides what to watch and what to play.
And then again, Jatin, a player who is playing can always go back and see the match, although he's not the same. You know the result already. But at least you can go back and watch the matches that are being played. Anyway. To each his own. Anything on your mind that you want to share with us, Jatin, apart from the World Cup? That you may...
Not much. We are just going through and dealing more with this World Cup. So there's nothing much going on for my head. I'm tired of the World Cup only right now.
There's a question I had for you that I didn't remember to ask you. But let me see if I can find it. Because... Go ahead, Dennis. I think I had to ask him.
Let me just say that you will remember several weeks ago the West Indies Women A team went on a tour of Pakistan where they played 3 ODI matches and the final match was played recently. Let's see if I have the exact date. At any rate, the final match was played and the West Indies A team ladies turning a hugely impressive performance to win the third final 50-over match against Pakistan team last Sunday. 2 teenagers, Janabi Joseph and Jazara Claxton, led with the ball and bat for the West Indies. So the West Indies women came back winning the series by 2-1. And, 2-1, I believe they won the series. And so kudos to the West Indies A. Hopefully we will see their future turn out to be bright and rosy. So that's on the women's team, Leon. And if you're still searching.
We have some here, okay. We had some tours that are upcoming. West Indies A team is due to tour South Africa. Did you have that, Dennis? I'm looking for my notes. I have something of that sort. But West Indies women team, they're due to tour South Africa. And anything out of the Big Bash, the ladies?
I have been watching a couple of the Big Bashes, some of those matches.
Dennis, someone has their phone open behind, please. Can you kindly help us?
I know you
along
can,
the way.
We can hear some conversation in the background, yeah.
Yes, I'm trying to mute. I mute some already. Simon, is that you? No. Some dishes are being washed.
Anything.
Yeah, I've been watching some of the Big Bash ladies and a couple of matches with Matthews. She did well in some and others. Like the one this morning, she got out cheaply. Or was it last night? I think it could be last night. She made about five. But she had been batting well and she had been bowling well. So just a little bit of fall off because at one stage she played in quite a few matches and every one of those matches she was a player of the match because she'd been performing it both bat and ball. Just quite a long run.
Right. But unfortunately, oddly, her team is now currently bottom of the table, winning only one out of seven matches. She's obviously not.
And she's a captain. And she's the captain of the team.
Oh, she is?
I think she's a captain, yeah.
Yeah, she's not doing very well. Our team is not doing very well. I know she's had one or two decent performances, but I can't say that she's done all that great this year.
Okay.
And there's no other West Indian ladies in that Big Bash League.
That team, DeAndre Dutton?
She was dropped earlier because of her contract was not renewed with the club she was with. Although they had picked her initially, when the final cut day came, she was dropped and not re-invited to participate. So I don't think she's playing any cricket this period while the Big Bash is on.
Is she playing in Barbados? I don't know. Maybe she... No? Not that you know.
I'm not aware of her being picked anywhere or playing any games anywhere.
Simon, you have a question for the panelists? You have another one?
Well, not offhand. No.
Okay. Well, Leon,
go ahead.
We have, remember, because we're in the season of.
I'd just like to be brought up to date with the World Cup playing in India. I haven't been following it. I'd like to be brought up to date with that.
Well,
go ahead,
Simon,
Dennis. You want to give him the standing?
Simon, we've had 10 teams. And of the 10 teams playing, India, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Sri Lanka, Netherlands, Bangladesh, and England. After seven rounds, England has won one out of seven matches, and Bangladesh has won one out of seven, Netherlands two out of seven, and Sri Lanka two out of seven. And those four teams are now considered to be out of the running for the playoffs. Afghanistan has won four out of seven, Pakistan four out of eight, and New Zealand four out of eight. And they're tied on the equal number of points, so that they are considered four, five, and six, but all three have a mathematical chance of qualifying for the playoff final, which will be about next weekend.
Okay.
As it turns out, Afghanistan is in a good position to actually make the playoff, but they have to beat both Australia and South Africa to reach that point. And Pakistan similarly has one opportunity. They need to beat England and put themselves in with a mathematical chance also of qualifying. And the same thing with New Zealand. They need to beat Sri Lanka and get a mathematical chance of qualifying. The top teams being India, who's won all eight of their matches that they've played. And the second place team is South Africa, who's won six of their eight and lost two. And Australia has won five out of seven, and they are currently third in the table. But the most memorable match to date, perhaps it's not the most memorable, but the latest match of today was where India at the top and South Africa at the second place played their match, and it was more or less thought to be the match that would signify a very stiff competition between the one and two teams. As it turned out, it was a big blowout in for India. India, who scored well over 300 and I think it was 29 runs or thereabouts.
326
for five. Virat Kohli scoring 101, not out on his birthday. And Shreyas Iyer, 77. Rohit Sharma, 40. And Jadeja, 29. So India scored 326 for five. And South Africa was, shall we say, bundled out for the sum of 83 runs in 27 overs. The highest score on the South African side was one player, Jansen, who scored 14 runs. So that was kind of humiliating for South Africa, considering they're the second-place team. But at the same time, it shows India's supremacy in the area right now. So the final matches, round of matches, is about to be played in the next 2 days, and the decision will be settled as to which four teams are in the semi-final. I think, in a nutshell, that is the state of play for you, Simon. So
thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for that update.
Did you tell him about the feat by Kohli? I didn't.
You can remind him.
Yes, because he has now joined leaders with whom? Guess whom?
Yeah.
The number of hundreds that are being scored by an individual player is Kohli and another player. And who? The ODI. Who is the other player?
No, I have no idea.
His favorite player.
His favorite player, and he's 10.
No.
You got a clue?
No.
Oh, no.
No.
And 11 won't be a clue. 10 is a clue.
Ten is a clue. I asked him if he got the clue. I gave him the clue.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 11 won't be a clue. He got the clue. 10.
You don't name a player by the name of 10? Begins with 10? T-E-N?
The same.
All right, winner. Well, yes, they both have... They both have 49 test centuries. ODI centuries.
ODI centuries, yeah.
Tendulkar, okay.
But the big difference is that Tendulkar scored his in 440-odd matches, and Kohli was 260-something matches. Can you bear me out there, Mr. Patel? It's 262?
Or
277 for Kohli, right? And Tendulkar is 440 or 442, somewhere along the line.
Yeah, it's about 444 or thereabouts.
Very good, very good.
Yeah.
And you know something else today? Today is his birthday as well.
Okay.
Yeah, that's something
good,
useful.
Good birthday gift.
And Audley told us tonight that the same day is the birthday of a player from the West Indies who used to be captain of the West Indies team. Do you know that player?
I know a lot of captains, starting from Sobers and
Creechai.
More recent time.
More recent time now of West Indies. Okay, let's see now who I could think of.
The one man who never misses a West Indies test team pitch.
Okay. And you say most recent times here.
Out of Barbados.
Out of Barbados.
Yeah. Okay, tall guy, tall fella.
Okay, let's see who we can think of there coming out of Barbados. Okay, let's
tall
see.
Tall fella,
let's
so, see. That, so it's not David, Williams. He's a tall fellow. David Williams is a diminutive guy, a diminutive figure.
Yeah.
So it's not, we're not, so he's out. And
yes.
He's never Captain Weston is either.
Okay. No. And you say he's a recent captain. Recent.
One of Mr. Heath's favorite players.
You never hear Mr. Heath talk about a guy.
Just to put it mildly.
Yeah.
We're just giving you a clue. We're giving you a clue.
No, I'm trying to figure it out. Okay. And he's from Barbados.
He was born in November.
That doesn't tell me too much.
He scored a double century for the West Indies as captain.
Oh,
as captain, no, I can't think of that one.
Can Hyacinth try and see if she knows that player?
Recent.
Very recent.
Not so recent, but just.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to say Sammy.
You see
no,
that?
No.
Oh, good
oh,
guess,
from Barbados,
but no,
from Barbados.
No cigars.
He's a beige.
You said tall.
He's a beige.
He's tall.
Yeah, well, you see,
His initial starts with a J.
And he's having a birthday today. He's having a birthday today. Sharing with Vera Foley.
Yeah.
Did you announce it?
J. Start with a J.
I bet you Donna knows. Donna, you want to tell him first?
You've muted Donna.
Donna, okay, where's Donna?
Let me make it easy. The bowler, the person that Dennis does not like.
There's the hole up the map.
Oh, right answer, right answer. I know.
I said it the other way, the person that Dennis likes, to put it mildly.
And I was too busy watching the World Cup.
Leon?
Jason Holder.
Jason, okay.
Hold on. Talk to me. I was just looking for the West Indies tour of Australia. And the West Indies A-team tour of South Africa. Go ahead, Dennis, but let me give you quickly. They're going to be playing three test matches, the West Indies A, starting on the November 21st, and will go till December 8th. They're going to be playing three test matches against the West Indies A. On the 21st to the November the 24th, November 28th to the December the 1st, and then December 6th to December 8th. It was a 3-8 teams tour. We have not heard yet the squad that was selected, but as soon as that comes to hand, at least we can obtain it, we'll bring it to the attention. Dennis, you were saying something before.
Yes, I was saying that let me read to Simon my version of the salute to the Indian Express. Simon?
Go right ahead, because you make good reading and good listening.
Have I got your ears, Simon? Are you there, Simon?
Yeah, go right ahead.
I'm listening to you.
Oh, yeah. All right. Simon, this is the Indian juggernaut just keep rolling along. The mighty South Africa crushed under the wheels of the Indian Express. In the driving seat is the illustrious Virat Kohli. Another century, his 49th on his 35th birthday. The engineer on this train is Rohit Sharma. And the men stoking the flames are the dynamic quintet, Sharmi, Siraj, Jadeja, Bumrah, and Kuldeep Yadav.
Okay.
The passengers on today's journey were the South African cricket team. on for a ride of their life, going nowhere very fast. For South Africa, this was the second nightmare train ride on their journey, just when they were ready to party. What is there left to be said of this Indian team? The express driver is highly skilled. The engineer Sharma is on top of his game. The men stoking the flames are without equal. They are flamethrowers without equal. Who, what, or which team is going to stop this Indian Express? Australia and New Zealand are too far down under. The West Indians are nowhere to be seen, and England has lost sight of the road ahead. The Dutch are underwater. Sri Lanka and Bangladesh are too late to catch the train. Is there anyone to stop this train? To all spectators, I say, get ready, buy your popcorn and beverages, select your seats, and be prepared to welcome the trophy arriving on the Indian Express. There
okay.
You go,
very good.
Well done.
Well put together, my brother.
Well done.
Yes, indeed. That's the place in the Indian time.
Yeah. What was that?
You want to be placed in the Indian
that
times.
That one put the place into the Indian times.
Well done.
That's a newspaper.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I appreciate that. But Simon, that tells you the significance, the importance, and the power that the Indian cricket team is wielding right now against everybody. And, of course, that South African reference was to do with the humiliation that South Africa suffered, because I don't think you can call it anything else but a humiliation at the end of the Indians this very night past.
I got you. Well, you deserve to win. That's what I say.
When you look at it where South Africa is concerned, Simon, when you look at it where the South Africans are concerned, In this tournament so far, I think they have scored in excess of 400 on three or four occasions. So we're really looking for a high class battle. And when I was at work today, but when I looked and I saw that the Indians were all over after the 50 overs, just under 230, I'm saying I'm wondering if they are a little short. But then again, I know the type of bowlers that the Indian, possessed, and I'm saying, and I give them any one of them can wreck the side, any one of the bowlers. But, more or less, I would look for the combination, whether it's Bumrah, Shami, Siraj, or Jadeja. And in this occasion, it was Jadeja who destroyed the spine out of the South Africans. And for them to fall for under 100 was really an anticlimax to build up that was going on, because they were the two teams that were heads and shoulders above everybody else. But the Indians showed their class, and as I've said before, they are not just playing with 12 men, they are playing with 15, because away from the 11 on the side, when you look at the sea of blue, it's going to account for at least four more men, so they have a big advantage when they play any side.
I was counting on Australia to win.
They're still not out yet.
You never know.
The race is not only
for the Swiss, but those that endure to the end. India can just have two bad matches and they end up not winning the cup. Highly improbable, but it's not impossible.
Right. I was hoping that Australia would win.
Still don't give up as yet. Yes, still don't give
not
up
yet.
As yet. Don't give up.
Not until last ball
is
scored.
Did you guys discuss the stats, the most runs so far? Did anybody touch that under before
I
came on?
I think we did.
No, the most runs, no.
Yeah, did we not call
it?
No. We did for the Caribbean. Okay.
Okay, so the most runs for the present World Cup so far, Clinton de Cork. Of course, he has 550 runs. at a strike rate of 68.7. Next, followed by Virat Kohli, only 6 runs behind, 543. I mean, 7 runs behind, 543. Strike rate 108.60. Ravindra from New Zealand, 523, 20 behind Kohli, 74.71. Rohit, 442 at 55.25. Warner at 428, 61.14. Daryl Mitchell from New Zealand, 375 at 62.50. Mark Crum from South Africa, 371 at 53. Van der Dussen from South Africa also, 366. Wizron from Pakistan, 359 at 71.80. And Shafiq, also from Pakistan, at 336 at 48. So I'll just give you the top 10. Those are the most runs in the series so far. So when it comes to, let me see, the wicket.
I got the ball in if you don't have it. I got the ball in if you don't have it.
All right, go ahead. I have the ball, but you can go ahead.
Let me see. Wait, do I have? No, okay, good. No, I didn't have the ball in. I thought I had it. I'm sorry about that. Go ahead, if you have it then,
okay.
I think.
Okay, so I have the ball in. Shami, 4 matches, 16 wickets. Bumrah, 8 matches, 15 wickets. Zampa, 7 matches, 19 wickets. Jadeja, 8 matches, 14 wickets. Mohammed Wasim Jr. from, Pakistan, 8 wickets. And we have Hassan, Mindy Hassan, he's 6 wickets. He's not giving you straight how much, he's according to the average. Kuldeep Yadav has 12. Rabada has 12, and you know, just like. Another bowler, Marcus Jensen from South Africa, he also has 17 wickets. Shaheen Afridi has 16 wickets. So, actually, 17 wickets. No, 19 wickets so far. Zampa leads the way with 19 wickets.
19.
So far, yeah, 19. We have a couple with 17 wickets.
Okay, right, this is so good. I just put them away there. The West Indies tour of Australia. Now, the West Indies senior team is going to be touring the Australia, and they will be playing 2 test matches, 3 ODIs, and 3 T20s, starting January the 17th, and will go until February the 13th. Tour begins January the 17th, and I think they're leaving for January shortly, for Australia shortly. So look out for that. We will give you more details as they come to hand. And the squad, I don't think the squad has been announced. Anybody heard anything yet? Yeah.
When you said they're leaving for Australia shortly, I kind of confused about that.
Because I heard on the West Indies CCC, the championship, that the announcer is saying that they're going to do. The Super 50 is going to be depleted because the players are leaving shortly. They're going to go Australia before, maybe a month before.
No. Remember England playing the West Indies? Remember England playing the West Indies, you know?
There was an ODI. December 2. Yeah.
No, they're playing the West Indies. Got 2 ODI playing in Antigua also, too. The third.
Yeah, they're playing Antigua in December. They're playing in December.
Yes.
Yeah, they're playing in December. That's right. Mm-hmm. But I hear somebody saying
they can't be going to Australia now to go play for January. That would have been impossible.
Yeah, well. Okay, so there we have it. Anything else on anybody's mind that they want
what
to
What format
clarify?
Will they be playing in Australia? What format will they be playing in Australia? Is it
All three. 2 test
what
matches. 3 ODIs and 3 T20s. January 17th to February 13th.
Wow, look what the West Indies come to. First time we're going to Australia, we're talking about 4 or 5 test matches. Now we are playing just 2 test matches, going to Australia, 2 test matches.
But,
wow.
But did we not just complete a 3-match test series in Australia earlier this year? Back in January or thereabouts? And we got walloped 3-0
So we are going back to get the other 2 to make it 5.
I'm wondering if Leon is looking at the correct dates. Are you sure of the dates, Leon?
Yeah, December the 17th, January 17th to February 13th.
What year? Because I know we just came back from there where we got thumped 3-0. You remember that disaster?
January 24th to February 24th.
2024 mm-hmm. year. What year? Check the year, just to make sure.
The year is 2024, right?
Oh, okay.
We're in 23
okay.
now.
Yes.
But we're in February, and we're going to play in December. We're going to play
December
in December against, 23. We're playing 23 against England in the Caribbean. They're going to complete.
Right.
Yeah. And we call all the matches that are going to be played in 2023, earlier this year. We don't have them at hand now, but West Indies, let me give you a full schedule. When West Indies is going to December, England, India. Okay.
Yeah. It says Australia the November 26th.
November
26th. That is India. India, let me see the West Indies. I don't see West Indies. Let me see so far. I see. Oh, the West Indies and England. We have tour with ODIs. And
later on in the year,
West Indies, England. West Indies, England. I don't see any West Indies, England. I haven't seen any West Indies, Australia.
Australia in November Australia tour of India, West Indies tour of New Zealand.
I haven't seen any West Indies, Australia. I've seen West Indies and England and India and Australia. And
Let me make sure.
I'm now in January.
West Indies, tour of Australia 2024.
Ooh. Okay.
And it starts with they're going to play 2 test matches. 3 ODIs and 3 T20s.
Yes, I see West Indies. I see West Indies here, 18th of January, 2024. Yes, West Indies and India.
The 17th, the first test match starts on the 17th of January and ends the 21st of January.
Yeah.
And it starts on a Sunday.
The 20th, Australia, West Indies will be in Australia. Second test match starts on the 26th of January.
25th
of January.
I finally have it. January 16th is the first test in Australia, Adelaide.
And the first ODI will start the 2nd of February.
So just after we knock off Australia,
England.
The West Indies, we go over to Australia to knock them off too.
Yeah, we got to be up to this.
Well, don't laugh, Simon. What say you? You think we're going to knock them off?
Yes, I'll say so.
Yeah, right, okay. Is Jatin still with us? Jatin?
No, he left.
Oh, he left, okay. All right.
I think he's gone for tea.
Yeah. He went for tea, right? And Australia should be finishing a tour. Australia should be finishing a tour of India in November too, you know, guys. November 23rd, Australia going to be touring India. You remember that the tour that was cut short? Australia is supposed to complete their tour of Australia come November the 23rd, and they'll go until December the 3rd. Anybody remembers that? They started a tour, but they couldn't complete it. They break it for the World Cup, and then they come back now.
Yeah, and Australia. Yes.
And then...
Australia...
Australia is going to play in India, November the 23rd to December the 3rd. They had to complete that tour of India.
Okay.
They played some matches before. Don't you remember that? All right. If you don't, I can't blame you because the World Cup is so sweet. Remember everything else. Anything anybody else wants to know about... Who is playing whom? Pakistan is going to play going to Australia too. Come December the 6th to January the 7th. So they're going to be in Australia when West Indies are there too. India going to tour South Africa, folks. December the 10th to January the 7th. And Bangladesh is going to tour New Zealand. December the 17th to December 31st. And Afghanistan... I wish they could have come to the West Indies, but they're going to tour India, January the 11th to January the 17th. Pakistan going to tour New Zealand. I wish they could tour India and vice versa. Pakistan touring New Zealand, January the 12th to January the 21st. The West Indies tour Australia, January 17th to February 13th. England going to be touring India January 25th to March the 11th. That's another bad beating for England over there in India. South Africa going to tour New Zealand come February the 4th to February 17th. And Australia will be touring New Zealand February the 21st to March the 24th. Pakistan will be touring England, 1924, May the 22nd to May the 30th to May the 30th. And West Indies touring England now, folks. Listen, July the 10th to July the 30th. So mark your dates so that if you want to go England, Simon, visit July 10th. Yeah, to... July the 30th. And then come August, Sri Lanka will be touring England August 21st to September 11th. Oh, I'll go for my birthday, man. September, Australia going to be touring England as well. September 11th to 29th. Is that an Ashes tour or what?
Yeah, so we
have a lot of tours lined up for the coming of the match.
Does Netherlands have a test team?
Netherlands?
They're in the...
No.
Well, wait. I know they're playing ODIs.
Okay.
Have you heard they're playing tests?
The ladies already played a test match, but the men, no.
Men didn't go Ireland. They didn't go Ireland to play. I don't know. Maybe
ODIs, not. ODIs.
ODIs. Another play, ODIs. And we know the famous victory they beat up on West Indies. You remember? We gave them 374 to win. And
they knocked it off
with time to spare.
Mr. Francis.
Go ahead, Dennis, come on in.
No. Let Virgil go ahead first.
Oh, Virgil,
yeah,
okay, sorry.
Yeah,
you call out all them tours. You got me real confused. We didn't say cricket is a game that really confused because I know next year is the World Cup, T20 World Cup. And I'm hearing all the tour coming up to September. Up to September, you call out tour from January, go all the way to September. So where is the World Cup?
The World Cup in the West Indies.
Yes.
But I'm calling the... They didn't include it in the section list.
Isn't that
going to be when?
July?
What? July?
It's July, June, I think.
They don't have this on the fixture list for the quick info. But July, when we play the World Cup at home here and some of the USA, maybe this is listed elsewhere.
You have to be within two months, because it can't be 1 month. So you have to be like June, July, August, September, or July,
usually
August.
Usually in the middle of the month. I don't see nothing in January, February, July, August, September, and no World Cup included in this fixture list. And
no,
this
but
is...
if you look at that World Cup, the future tours, there's no tours between about the end of May and the men's tour anyway and the beginning of July. So
well,
I
Pakistan
think that's
will be playing in May. Pakistan may play in 22nd to the 30th of May. That's the only thing I see here.
Zimbabwe will tour England in May.
Okay, May is vacant. There's a big space between May here. The next time we play, fixture is scheduled after May the 20th, May the 22nd. It's going to be in July the 10th.
Yes.
So big gap in between here. But they have not listed. Yeah.
The
they have not listed.
The
yeah, they have not listed them yet. They haven't listed them yet.
The dates yet, but it's June.
The dates have not been finalized yet. I think they have not finalized these yet, so that's why they don't have them here. Any questions?
But,
any answers?
Yeah,
any?
Yeah, wait, Leon, wait a minute. We have something to be really important here. Is the Under-19 World Cup is in going to be in Sri Lanka. Beginning January the 12th, and in the World Cup under 19, the West Indies is there, United States is there, of course England and a few others, but the two important ones from our perspective are the West Indies and the USA under 19 will be participating in the World Cup beginning January the 12th, 2024. So we have it. All right, Leon, back to you.
I wonder if Simon remembers how much the World Cup was, the price money for the World Cup. Simon, you remember that? We talked about it a long time ago.
Who is that?
Simon?
Which World Cup?
This present World Cup. When India wins, how much they're going to get?
I have to give you a good guess now. India win will get, I'll say, 5 million.
What?
Wrong answer.
8 million.
Wrong answer. The whole tournament is 10 million.
10 million. Okay.
All the prizes are $10 million. Right, Virgil?
That's my 25. My Trini friend said that's the wrongest answer. That's the wrongest answer, Simon. That's the wrongest answer.
I heard
that's correct.
Yes, I heard that they were a bit short, and they asked Virgil to chip in, and Virgil said, pay the whole thing.
Pay the whole thing. Okay, if when India wins, they'll take home $4 million.
Okay.
The
runner-up pocket change for Virgil.
$4 million. And that's not that's not Jamaica dollars. It's U.S. dollars.
Thank you, Leon. Thank you.
And the runner-up
will
get half of that $2 million. And the two semifinalists, yeah, the losing semifinalists will get $800 each.
$800,000
each. The two losing, you have four, the two losing get that. And now the 45 winners of each league stage match. So anytime you win at each stage match, you'll get $40,000. And there are 45 of them going to be winning.
Okay.
And then the teams, Mr. DeCesar, do not pass the first stage, they get $100,000. If you just get into the tournament, you get $100,000. And if you don't, so that's the key. So all in all, they're going to pay $10 million for this tournament. It looks as if they get more than $10 million in those stands.
What do I know? That big prize money, it didn't register in West Indies head players, or they just figure
that's
the franchise money
it,
is
so
more.
So you register that they miss out on it?
Well, yeah, the franchise key. Money is more important than this.
Virgil.
Which franchise players?
Virgil. In Jamaica,
yeah.
We have a saying, I guess a lot of people have a saying, the heart is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yes.
So even when they want the money, you have to have the quality. You know, you have the heart to go there to play the sort of innings that will catapult you into the final 12 or whatever they have. So it doesn't matter how you love the money. You know, you have the heart to go.
Francis,
you have to play gritty cricket sometimes before you can
yes,
move
Mr.
out.
Francis. Mr. Francis,
I am down.
Come on in.
I am down, but I'm not out. So when you said India is going to win that money, just remember, I am down, but I am not out.
You know something,
yeah,
Virgil?
Virgil?
Wait, let me answer Virgil.
Down,
Virgil, listen to me.
Yes.
If it's one team I believe who can beat India, it's Pakistan. I just believe so.
They
I believe.
The World Cup.
They haven't done it in the
World
Cup.
It could be the first time.
So far,
could be the first
time. One team, I believe they can beat them. They know how to play spin. They know how to play pace. They have spin. They have pace. I don't know if they'll choke.
remember Leon, the Ghana Amazon Warriors for years? You know,
yes.
Sometimes they go right through to the final, unbeaten, and the final they get beaten. Unless India is going to take that pattern. And it do happen sometimes. You have a bad day.
It do happen.
And you
have
a bad
day.
And the most important day of all the finals, you know. But if they continue to perform the way they are performing, you know, if one man is not doing it, you have another two or three doing it. And that's what team is all about. So even if you have one or two or three, the top three phase like in this time with Australia, three first batters going for a duck, and yet they came back and they won the match. So when it's not when it's not built around one person or just two, that is what will happen. But when you have all round team that you can, anybody can just show up and turn things around. That's the type of team India has.
That century
right
by that Pakistani is one of the best centuries that I've ever witnessed. That century against New Zealand.
Yeah.
And, you know, Baba Azam and Rizwan and these guys didn't come off.
Mm-hmm.
This guy looked like he could have made 200 not out.
Rizwan didn't bat. Rizwan didn't bat.
No. I know. No.
Baba
Razam
was still there. Yeah,
Baba
Razam
was there.
Baba
Razam
what, 60-something or 80-something?
Yeah, they're not out.
So.
They were not out.
Yeah.
Yes. But, so, you know, this is something for Simon, you know. Simon, imagine Australia scored, or New Zealand, sorry, scored 400 runs in their 50 overs, and they still lost the match.
Oh man, I felt it. I felt it for him.
Me too. Duckworth Lewis. Duckworth Lewis.
Yeah, Monsieur Duckworth Lewis, man. Oh, that was terrible.
20
I don't know what better system they can come up with. But man, to score 400 plus, and then losing the match by in Duckworth Lewis system, it's really tough. It's tough.
You lucky the Duckworth Lewis saved them too, you know, because you hear what happened. If the rain didn't come down, we'd knock it off. We'd probably losing one wicket.
You're right. Gentlemen, we're coming about the end of our show, and we're going
to
wrap up in a short while.
I'd rather see it play out than we know directly this was how the match actually finished.
Yeah,
but there got to be a system that you award points or whatever. In situations like this, prior to the Duckworth Lewis system, they compare the amount of overs, the runs you were at, and the comparative overs. Like at 45, you were at XYZ, or at you were at what? You know, I think that's the best way to do it. And when you're batting, you'll endeavor to push forward to make sure, just in case of rain, you're at a certain, you would win. But the Duckworth Lewis, I don't think it helps sometimes. It don't really help.
Yep. I agree with you.
But folks, it was indeed a pleasure for me to host the show. I really appreciate the cooperation that has been given to me by the panelists. It was a wonderful show. I enjoyed it immensely. And we're going to start this evening by asking Hyacinth to say her final word. Hyacinth, it's you.
I just want to say thank you so much, each and every one. Have a wonderful evening. See you soon. Take care. God bless. Bye.
God bless you too. Thank you. Thank you, Hyacinth. Simon, your turn.
And I try to follow that up and say a very good evening to everyone. Everyone be safe. Have a wonderful week. And we'll see you back here next week, Sunday, on The Cricket Show. Have a wonderful week, all, and be safe.
Okay. How about you? Who is next? Roger, you say goodbye. I know you're hungry.
Yeah.
You're ready to go home to eat.
Yeah, I just want to say that those two little girls enjoy hearing the name. Call. I don't know if they're still listening, but
Why don't you call it again, Virgil?
No.
That we remember. Call the names again. Call the names again.
Tia and Tamara.
Tia and Tamara.
Piper.
Twins.
Tia and Tamara. Okay.
They enjoyed. I understand they were smiling out of this world. So if you're still listening, I'm still going to tell you a happy birthday. But I know you didn't eat up the chicken, so make sure you eat it up before you go to bed, which is about 9 o'clock now. So
the sweetest word that you'll ever utter from your mouth is the words of a name of an individual. So when you hear your name, you look. If anybody called me from afar, I look. I didn't run from that. Leon, who's next? Virgil, your final thoughts.
Yes, so good night to each and every one of you until we talk again next week.
Amen. Who is it? Donna, your final thoughts? And Virgil and Mercedes?
As we part tonight and we getting closer to the playoffs for the World Cup, I am seeing one dominant team. But
England?
England. So I still be looking, I still be watching. But good luck to whoever. For the final.
Wait. Donna, you're joking, right? You're joking?
Eh?
You're joking, right?
Is one thing
England,
that making, I thought you would have seen some competition, but the competition
is no contest, man.
I was
no contest.
The next fighting game today. And it was
4-1-5
today. I can't believe that. No kind of competition.
None.
4-1-5 in some of the games. Mm-hmm. We need to get some exciting games and some close games.
Well, that's why we're praying that Pakistan beating India.
in the finals if they meet.
We need a contest. We need a competition. Some of these games win too easily. We need a competition.
Okay. Thank you so much for your help this evening. And how about you, Mertris? I don't know if she's back up. Go right ahead.
All right. It was a beautiful show this evening. Have a good night, everyone. God bless, and see you next week. Have a good week.
God bless, and thank you for listening to stay with us. And regards to your mama, Bobsy. Audley, your final thoughts, and then we...
Okay, so I'm just wishing that everybody will have a wonderful, wonderful week. Remember, as we go, we should be careful as we go there, ever remember the presence of God as we walk, as we talk, in whatever we do. And let us remember that when we let go of what we are, then we'll become of what we might be. Keep your hands in the hands of the Lord. And next week, God willing, we'll be doing it all over again. Good night.
Okay. Take care, Dennis. Remember, Caribbean Global Voices and Iva. He has not, missing in action, but he's in our thoughts and prayers. Go right ahead, Mr. Dennis.
You will be inspired when you tune into the Saturday Morning Entertainment Hour on the Caribbean Global Voices at www.blogtalkradio.com/Caribbean Global Voices. That you may join and hear and contribute at 1-563-999-3693. That's Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Don't miss it. It's the awesomest show for entertainment on a Saturday morning. Back to you, Leo.
Good night. God bless you all. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Brother Saul, Caribbean man, that.
Okay, good night.